Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It is the Apropos of Nothing podcast, and I am your host, Salsa.
And I'm Jenna.
Because Matt's still not here, because fuck that guy.
Yeah, but we replaced him.
Hi, I'm Jessa. I am Jenna's daughter.
Yay, my daughter's on the podcast.
Yay.
She hasn't done that in ages.
I know, right? So, yeah, as you can obviously tell, Matt is not here because we don't like him and he has rehearsals.
Also, he's an asshole.
Also because he's an asshole. So, we are going to drink away our pain with some booze.
Well,
except not me.
You can't have any. You're too young.
That's a eagle.
But, so, she is having Sprite. Jenna and I, on the other hand, are having Benromach Speyside Single Malt Scotch Whiskey aged 10 years.
Say that three times fast.
Benromach Speyside Single Malt Scotch Whiskey.
God damn it.
I'd rather drink it three times.
I suppose I should have a sip then, huh?
That's a bit of all right.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good. There's a moment of, oh God, what is it doing to me? But then it just evaporates into this really nice finish.
Yeah.
I love listening to people talk about booze.
There's almost a coffee finish on it.
Just a bit. It's like a very light, like I just had coffee half an hour ago kind of taste to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the evaporation is what's really getting me, because it's like, I'm going to punch you in the face, and now poof.
Oh, that is lovely.
Yeah, well,
I am all about that one. So you should probably drink along with us. It is Benromach or Benromach or something like that.
Speyside
single Benromach.
I got nothing.
Speyside single malt Scotch whiskey, aged 10 years. That is a lovely one.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much to Cedius Scotchbringer for bringing us that scotch.
Is that his title?
Yes. Cedius Scotchbringer.
The Scotchbringer.
Yeah.
Cedius Scotchbringer. That is who he is, because that is... We like to give people names that are both appropriate and descriptive.
Saint Manna the Destroyer.
Mm-hmm. Appropriate and descriptive.
Yeah.
Matt the Ass Face. Appropriate and descriptive.
Well, yeah.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
So, what you been up to?
Well, I totally replaced Matt earlier this evening.
Boom. This is becoming a theme.
Fearless Lab.
Mm-hmm.
That happened tonight, and Matt had rehearsals, so he couldn't do that.
We got to make fun of Matt marrying a bunch.
The amount of stuff that he's... The amount of rehearsal he's going to, he better be fucking good.
I know, right?
Because seriously.
I'm actually... to be serious, I have seen him do serious theater, and he's really good. I'm going to say that.
Yep.
However...
This is comedy.
I had to host tonight, and I haven't hosted anything since, like, Die Laughing.
Okay.
And that was a male burlesque-like thing, so that was completely different than
But I would did. Think it would still be pretty easy to slide
things,
back into that.
Yeah, similar things carry over. MCing for Signy, being the talking point there kind of helps, you know. I'm drawing the audience in now. I'm, you know, things like that.
Connecting with them and tying the first piece with the second piece and things like that.
Things like that. Although not knowing what a stand-up's going to talk about, it's not always easy to connect to the next piece. But
you're also an improv performer, so
that's what they keep telling me.
Take a wild guess. A broken clock always strikes twice.
Yeah.
So this improv comedian is going to be talking about their relationships, or not. We'll find out.
A lot of it was I just did everybody's desired straight up intro, but then was able to pull in some jokes or commentary after each person said
in the interstitial.
Yeah.
Post.
She also told a story.
I did tell a story. I told.
I can't imagine you telling a story.
I know, right?
Whoa.
I told a historical reenactment story.
Neat.
Because it wasn't nerdy enough that I was hosting a Fearless Comedy Production Lab. I had to make it nerdier.
Hey, you threw that shit together before the show. It was good.
Oh, thank you. Yay, somebody appreciates me. She has to. I put a roof over her head.
Well, having not seen it, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was awful, so...
Yeah, no, you're a dick.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I hosted lab. I don't get out to lab much, and that is
I think I've
really,
been to one.
It is a shame. Because every time I go, I'm like, God, I should really go to lab more often. And then I don't.
I don't go to a lot of Fearless stuff that I'm not in. And that is a crying shame.
It really is.
Not just Fearless stuff. I don't go to a lot of...
Other stuff. Just stuff.
And I will always want people to come to my stuff, and it's only fair that I should go to their stuff. But I also have kids, and
you know, that's the
my
thing.
Own stuff, like, and I feel really, really bad.
I can't believe that you're doing stuff.
The fact that I was able to this year go to a Fringe Festival show.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Like, I was so happy to be able to get out and watch something, because it was really, really good. And yeah. And I was like, I wish I was able to do this more often.
Right. Fringe was good this year.
Yeah, it was. So. There's a lot of good stuff. What I don't remember which things you got to see at Fringe, aside from my stuff, which, of course, was amazing.
Caucasian Aggressive Pandas was really good.
That's not really mine, though. I directed it, but yeah, that was them.
What else did we see? We saw Real Life Fringe Festival.
Oh my God! And that was way better than it was supposed to be. Like in my brain, like I heard the concept and I was like, okay, this could go really well or this could go really poorly.
I love how you use the phrasing than it was supposed to be, as opposed to how you thought it was going to be.
No, right? It was
better than it was. It should have been sucky.
That's a weird review.
When you talk about statistically speaking, when people do like real world based theater,
I love it when somebody
speaking
when somebody starts with statistically speaking.
So, what do you mean? Define real world style theater?
I'm doing and by that I mean like the trying to adapt what is it, the TV genre where like the real world like.
Reality TV?
That!
Yeah.
Trying to adapt that to the theater often goes poorly.
How?
It got really meta.
It did get really meta.
They did a reality show?
Yeah, it's...
Theater style?
It's like, the concept is that they'll know they're on a stage, but, like, they're not allowed to say anything about it?
Yeah.
But, like, and they have, like, oh, what's it called when they, like, interview one of the people? The
confession booth?
Yeah.
Confession booth, yeah. Right? Just looking
at
your face.
Are you talking about Eric's thing?
No.
Okay, because that's kind of what they were doing, except it was scripted improv.
It was scripted improv, though, which I expected, like, scripted improv having a structure like that is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, this was a scripted show.
Huh.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like I said, it was way better than it was supposed to be.
It's one of those things where, like, it's really hard to describe. You'd need to bring somebody to it.
Yeah.
So, what was the reality of the show? Like, what were they trying?
They
like,
were
was it a
all in a house.
So it was like Big Brother.
I don't know.
I don't do TV.
I don't think either of us.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of them, but I just know that like there's Big Brother and Real Housewives and Road Rules.
Yeah, something.
I don't know. Other.
I don't do TV.
I totally thought I knew more names until I tried naming them.
What's that one that Trump did?
The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And then there's all the Survivor ones.
Right.
And then there's the Bachelor and Bachelorettes.
Yep.
And then there's the other ones.
And stuff.
I feel like there's ones that anyway. Like I should know that like
either way, huh? And it was were people getting voted out of the house?
No,
and things like that, or it was just
I mean people were leaving because reasons.
Fuck this shit.
it was
so
strange.
Otherwise it was just a voyeuristic thing.
Kind of.
It was really meta, and it like
what was the plot? Like what?
There were a lot of themes.
Okay,
there was kind of a plot of the plot being, you know, essentially they all needed to be on stage and perform this thing to get something, but I don't know if that something was ever discussed. Huh. And there was, I mean, there was a relationship that developed, and there was, you know, other things. But
there was the one chick that, like, knows that she's on a reality TV show and doesn't care, and, and this is the part where you two kiss or whatever, like, that sort of thing.
Were lessons learned and hearts and minds changed?
I think, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Was there somebody who found redemption?
I think so.
So what you're saying is we've got all the tropes.
Basically, yeah.
It was
pretty tropey.
Yep.
I think you can get antibiotics for that now.
But they did have some really interesting themes, and it was really interesting when Jess and I saw it because... they had themes about technology and how technology invades our space and things like that, and how we interpret technology. But it really seemed to be written for people my age, because for people Jess's age, that's
just normal, what it is,
you know? One of the things was the overwhelm of having all of this information, and Jess was like, well, you just grab the info you need, like... Why is this...
Right, we had a really interesting conversation afterwards, because, like, not only was it that sort of gap, but also, like, trying to actually discern... Because it's very metaphorical, it seems. Like, there's a lot of symbolic stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was not just, like, discussing that sort of gap, but also, like... What does this mean? What does that mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like.
Kind of wait. There was artistic symbolism at the fringe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a few conversations with my wife, who is, for those of you who don't know, a high school teacher, about just technology and how people of you know, the current high school age versus when I was in high school. And just how drastically different it is as far as information and privacy and things like that. Like, when I was going to school, cell phones were still pretty new, but they existed.
Mm.
And you wouldn't even think twice about having one in a classroom. Like, they existed at this point solely for calling home if you were going to be late. Like, that's why they existed. We didn't have smartphones or anything like that. Cell phones at that point in time didn't even have cameras. They were to make phone calls. And so the thought of having a cell phone in the classroom never crossed my mind when I was in high school. And now, you know, my wife has to struggle every year with that. How much should she fight against that, you know? And every teacher has their own, you know, some teachers have, mm-hmm. you know, you have to hand in your cell phone at the beginning of the classroom, and you can pick your phone up on the way out. And some people are just like, you can have your phones, but just don't take them out and look at them. And some are like, you know, if I hear your phone ring or I catch you on your phone, you're going to be, you know, sent to the principal's office instantly and things. And every teacher struggles with that question of, because it... The fact of the matter is, you can't just ban them from the classroom.
Right.
You can't do that, because people have tried that and it doesn't work. And so, like, she and I have had really interesting conversations, and a lot of my, you know, old person get off my land preconceived notions were really challenged, because I was just like, well, you just do this. And she's like, that's not, you can't do that. And here's why. And that's really interesting to me, but I also don't understand it at all.
it's also interesting to me because I'm not... I don't have as much of, like, a connection with my peers as people seem to generally think I do sometimes. It's like, why does your generation do this? Fuck if I know. Like, that's just what they do. That's just, like, what I've learned, that this is how they do things.
I haven't analyzed my actions. I just fucking do it.
Well, and I'm not one to use my phone in class unless we are actually not doing anything.
Right.
Like, even in, like teachers that are more lax about it, like, mm-hmm. I'm not taking it out unless we are actually not doing anything and there is nothing to be learning or being taught.
Yeah. It is not interfering with the process of what school is.
Exactly. And I find it extremely disrespectful because I come from acting and that sort of a background to have your phone out when somebody is trying to get your attention and trying to
it's extremely disrespectful,
teach or perform. It doesn't matter if somebody's up there and they're trying to gather the attention of like everybody in the room. You need to pay attention to them. And then there's kids that just don't care. So, like, it's really interesting.
Meanwhile, the two of you are having this conversation, and I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know where the hell you got these
manners. I turn
my
phone off.
But like, here's the thing. When I'm on my laptop watching the hockey game while Matt's talking, it's because I don't give a shit about Matt. But the other thing that I personally have found interesting is, I mean, I get that the phone is a distraction, and... And short attention spans means you want to be playing whatever on your phone. The thing that always that I personally took a hard time wrapping my head around in is the patience level is gone. It's like you get a text and people need to respond right now. You know, I personally use text as my way of. You know, if you need to get a hold of me and you need a response right now, call me. Because then we'll have an instant conversation. But if it's not important, text me. And when I get the chance, I will check my texts and respond at that time. That's how I use text, much like email. You know,
that's the same way I use
it.
And
once I get a... But, I mean, even now, email is on phones, too, and so it suddenly has become an instant thing, too. But for the longest time, email was you had to sit down at a computer. And that's how I use texts. It was, you know, I am done with doing whatever it was. I have a few minutes. I'm going to sit down and check my texts. I'm going to go through them and respond. And I find it weird when I'm having a conversation with somebody and they suddenly go, hold on, and then they... And you're like, you know.
I hope that picked up on the mic.
But, and I mean, I've done that, but if I am doing that, it's because I'm doing something important. Like, I'm trying to organize people for a show or doing something for work or something like that. It's an importance and it is a time-sensitive need. The one that confuses me is I'll be talking to friends and they'll be... And it's like, what was that all about? Oh, you know, my wife sent me a funny picture or something, and I had to tell her it was funny or something like that. I was like, why was that more important than the conversation we're having in front of ours? You know, that confuses me. And I do believe that is an age gap thing.
Well, I don't know, so. Because, like, at the same time, I think that... If you're in the middle of talking to somebody, mm-hmm. unless it's important, you shouldn't be responding to texts. I'm fine with you checking because mm-hmm. you don't know whether
it could be important.
It could be important, right? I'm fine with you checking your phone, but if you're like actively doing something mm-hmm. with your phone other than just like skimming or reading or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit disrespectful because, you know, we're trying to have a conversation.
And if I'll usually, if I do need to respond or something, I'll usually say, I have to take this. I'm, you know, here's mm-hmm. why this is important to me. So, and like I said, there's outliers on every bell curve.
Right.
But I think that it is a trend and maybe that's just my get off my lawn podium.
But, to be fair, the both of you are like 60-year-old men.
It's true.
Like, I'm all like, I'm going to go over here and play with the, shiny. And you're like, freaking kids.
Yeah, freaking kids, get off my lawn. I want my privacy back.
you can't have your privacy back.
I know, it's so
welcome to the internet age.
It is so frustrating. I really, really have a hard time coping with it. Like, for reals, I do.
Mm.
I, yeah. There has been a few times where I've gone through Facebook before I figured out that I should split my Facebook into my public personas and my private personal.
I'm doing that with my email account. Yeah. I'm doing that with various social media things. Like, as soon as I need to start using it for business things or other professional things, I'm going to have a different email and a different this and a different that. And, because I've done a lot of dumb shit. Like,
well, and we all have, but the thing is, it's not even dumb shit. It was when my Facebook was wide open to the entire world, and there were, you know, listeners to this podcast. You know, I love you all dearly, but I don't know you personally. But in order to be Facebook friends with you guys, what I had to do was have my Facebook open to the world, and I hated that. I hated every minute of that because I wanted to post pictures of my kids to let my family see it. And anybody in the world could see that stuff. And I, even though I'm somebody who has absolutely no filters on this podcast, I still bizarrely value my privacy. And so once I was able to finally go, okay, this is my public persona on Facebook, and this is my private page, and this is my public email, and this is my private email. Before I did that, I would occasionally go through and delete every post before like a month ago, so that all obviously that information still exists somewhere if you look for it,
right?
But to the casual person skimming through, as far as they knew, before a month ago I didn't exist on Facebook,
right?
Because I just deleted everything, because I did have I would have these bouts of this, you know, valuing my privacy, and now I feel like I don't need to do that anymore because I do have that split up, and the only people on my personal Facebook page are people that I'm okay with seeing stuff.
That's one of the things that I've always been interested in, because my dad is like one of those tinfoil hat people about like Google and he doesn't have a Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that he doesn't have a Google account. Because they'll take
He has a Google account now.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
For the longest time, he wouldn't get a Google account because they'd take all of his information, but he had a Yahoo account.
Yep.
Fundamental flaw in... they wear tinfoil hats for a reason. Anyway.
Like, he uses Firefox instead of Chrome. He's got these, like, little add-ons. Like, he's got, I think this program called, like, Ghoster or something that, like, tells him if things are, like, tracking his keystrokes or whatever and, like, other stuff. He uses this one search engine called DuckDuckGo because it doesn't log your things.
Log your search history or anything like that. And yeah, I'm not that crazy, obviously.
I don't know how obvious
less about some, you know, hackers or government, you know, getting into it. It was just, this is none of your business. Like, if I don't know you personally, none of your business.
Right.
What I'm doing, none of your business what my kids are doing, none of your business, you know? And I feel like now I have hit balance that I'm happy with, where I understand that the future is the future and you're not going to be able to fight that, and technology and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and things like that exist, and trying to, you know, wail away at the wall is madness. And so I have embraced, but, you know, I'm still at a level that I'm comfortable with. Which is really bizarre for somebody who tells everybody fucking everything on the podcast.
Right. That's one of the interesting things with the way I use social media, is that I'll use one outlet for, like, a good year or so, and then I'll just sort of, like, stop checking it and stop using it, and... Mm-hmm. I've done this with Facebook, I've done this with Tumblr, Snapchat, I have one, but I don't check it, unless somebody sends me something, which nobody does, because I don't check it, like
fair.
Like all these social media things, and I just like it, and it's not that I've like lost interest, it's just that I don't bother to check them anymore.
It's not like, that you lost interest, but you lost interest.
Yeah, I guess.
I actually have a similar game with game, similar thing with games.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, that happens all the time. Yeah,
I'll play a game, I'll be really into it for a while, and then like life happens, and I stop playing it, and I forget it exists.
Yeah, no, that happens a lot. That's one of the things I like about having a bunch of games is that like if I'm not currently feeling one specific game, I can just like look through my Steam library and be like, if I don't want to play insert game here, then what do I want to play?
Yeah.
I actually was thinking about this, and I wanted to save this topic for when Matt was on, because Matt and I go a little crazy about video games sometimes, but I'll bring it up now. In that, isn't video games are such a weird media?
Yep.
In that, like, if I am reading a book, I'm going to finish the book. If I'm watching a movie, I'm not going to walk out halfway through the movie. I'm going to see how it ends. But video games, like, the vast majority of people just don't finish games. Like, they experience a game up until the point where they're bored with it. And then they move on to another game. And that just seems crazy. I do it too, but every time I do it, it eats away at my soul. I look at my Steam library, and I look at all of the games that I haven't finished yet, and I die inside. Because, and I keep promising myself that I'm going to eventually go back and finish those games. And it's this weird, like, recursive thing where I will get two-thirds of the way through The Witcher, and then I will purchase Fallout. And I'll get a third of the way through that, and then I will purchase Assassin's Creed.
Right,
and then,
right.
And like, I do four or five or six or seven down the line, I finally go, stop it. And what I need to do then is finish that last game, and then work my way back up the ladder.
Yeah, good
so,
luck.
So the game that I was in the middle of, I need to finish that one. And then I need to go back one step and finish that game. And then back another step and finish that game. And I've done this a few times where I've actually been able, successfully been able to go back down the ladder a few rungs. And then it snowballs again.
But you never got back to Witcher.
I never got back to Witcher. No, Witcher is still. I need to.
It's so pretty though.
It's such a good game. I know.
Oh God.
But like,
and there are no good answers, and I love that about Witcher.
And there are there like the list of games. You know, it's a who's who of games. It's like The Witcher and Skyrim and L.A. Noire and all of these games. It's like I need to finish them. You know, and I can kind of see. If people are playing co-op shooters or something like that, that is the game. You know, you have experienced the game.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I am the kind of person who likes games with stories. And if I haven't finished the game, I haven't seen how the story ends. And that eats me.
Yeah,
and
I hate it.
But
get that.
I just, ugh.
I like games as a way to tell a story because it's unique in the way that
so
you... That you make the choices, mm-hmm. and that you are not only experiencing, like, or experiencing watching a character do things, you are the character mm-hmm. doing things.
Well,
and when the character feels helpless, in a good game, you feel helpless yeah. because you, as a player, can't control the situation.
And
I mean, how many second-person stories are there?
Exactly.
That this is it. Video games are mm-hmm. our second person.
That was you know, I grew up and like I loved reading. Yeah. I still do. I need to read more, honestly. And like for a while I was hooked on choose your own adventure books.
Oh, those yep. are fun.
Right. Those are really fun, and you get to choose like where you go, how the story changes,
mm-hmm.
like you're the one making the tough decisions. the one thing that bothered me about it is that a lot of the time, if you took the wrong path, it was just, that's it. Story's over.
Yep.
You hit your head on a rock and you died.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot to be explored with ways that you can interact with a story as somebody, like, because everybody experiences a story differently, mm-hmm. but that's even more so with games.
Yeah.
Like, people play games differently. People interpret games differently. People learn games differently.
Well,
like,
yeah.
My dad has played a game, and then I've been like, "Hey, that seems like a fun game," and I'll be better at him in better than him at it in like
no time flat.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been well documented that I am a very slow, methodical player. You know, when I get into a game, I carefully plan my routes, and I, you know, if there's baddies that need to get taken down, I quietly take them down one at a time. That way, if I do suddenly find myself facing off against everybody, their numbers are greatly reduced. You know, very much divide and conquer, very much planning. And there are other people that just go, "All right, level started, let's go," and they just start shooting everything in sight. And they try to do the quiet sneak around and tactic stuff, and they suck at it. And that's okay. Everybody plays games slightly differently, and that's cool. But the thing that I have a hard time wrapping my head around is the people that play very story-driven games and get two-thirds of the way through it and then go, "I'm done with this one."
You didn't finish
I cannot wrap my head around that. I'm just like, but you don't know how it ended. How are you done with this? I haven't finished these games, and they eat away at me. And they get to a certain point, and they go, "This is all done." And then they, like, uninstall it and walk away.
to a casual gamer, like, like, if the gameplay mechanics don't hold a casual player, then they're not going to be hooked, and they're not going to want to play. Even if they get, like, two-thirds of the way through because they like the story, but they don't particularly like the game, then they're like, "I don't like this. Like, I want to hear the story, but, like, I don't want to play it." So they drop it. Most of the people that I know that do gaming, generally come back to games. Like, I'll do this, I'll even if I finish a game, I'll come back and be like, "Hey, I remember this," Terraria. Like, I played the shit out of Terraria.
Yeah, you did.
And then, like, they...
How is that game, by the way?
I very much enjoy it.
Okay. I kept seeing it come by on Steam going, "I don't know."
It's a lot... People compare it to Minecraft, which really peeves me, because it really isn't. It's way more focused on, the RPG aspects than Minecraft is, but... you're still building houses, but, like, in Terraria, I feel like there's a sense of progression.
Mm.
With Minecraft, it's very just...
It's pure sandbox, yeah.
Right. Even though you are going through the ranks of materials, you can do that really fucking quickly. Like, I had a Minecraft world where I literally just dug straight down because I have nothing to lose because I just booted it up. Basically, hit the bottom, hit diamonds, like, came back up, and I'm like, "Well, that was, did that," like, because it's...
Because it's
not meant to be, a very, like, action-y game. There are elements of that, and that's why people make adventure maps, but... it's a tool for people to make adventure maps. Indeed, more than it is a story on its own, I feel. Meanwhile, Terraria tells its own story, and you're probably going to need a wiki, but they kind of give you, like, helpful tips in the guide, okay. who is basically the in-game wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love it because you still... Terraria is a game that I recommend without the wiki, because you can still progress, mm-hmm. even though it is exploration, you figure out how things change, because you have the guide there.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people would go to the wiki, though, too. Like, I'm going through Binding of Isaac.
Which is a completely different beast.
Without a wiki, because mm-hmm. I want to figure out what things do on my own. So, but that's the way that I play games. Like
that actually is another thing that is interesting that baffles me. That I know people who will buy a video game and the guide. And they, like, read the guide and follow the guide to optimize their game. And it's like, you're not... I don't understand that. And they're having fun, and that's cool, and they can do whatever they want to, that's fine. But to me, that's just like, why are you even bothering? You already know how this is going to end. You already know exactly what's going to happen. This is all scripted for you before you even do it, because you're going to go to this place, and you're going to open this chest, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to have this conversation with this specific conversation tree to convince this thing to happen, and then this is all pre-planned because you read the guide. There, nothing is left to chance, nothing is left to surprise, and I just, that baffles me so much. But they love it. That's how they play that game.
There's a game in itself on gaming the game. There are people who play games because they want to beat the game, whether that's finishing the game or whether that is becoming the best at that game, or it is progressing the most efficient, like, best way possible.
Yeah.
And sometimes that'll include a guide, sometimes that'll include a wiki. Because they want to know, how do I do this the most efficiently, in order to be the best. Like, there are people who play certain games because they do that without really thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
They game the game and they don't want to, so they look specifically for games that don't have a specific best way to play.
Yeah.
They don't have a specific, like, best skill
something
tree.
Procedurally generated,
right,
or something
right.
like that. Yeah.
That's the appeal of roguelikes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that, like, it's...
There are still rules that you can follow, but you're going to have procedurally generated dungeons and stuff
right.
like that. It's still there's no way to predict what's going to happen, so...
Hey, Mom, you want to talk on your own podcast?
Nah.
Why start now?
Wait, look... I gave birth to you 16 years ago for this moment. Go.
You did?
Frolic. Yeah, just for this moment.
Wow. I don't remember that at all.
Well, I mean...
Oh, you were talking to her.
Yes.
Oh, okay. This. I mean, it got weird there for a little bit, but I was willing to yes and it.
You're weird.
It's true. What do you say we take a break?
Yeah, all right.
All right.
All right. And we'll be back in your ear holes after this interlude. Where's the stop button?
Do the hustle.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
This is what I do for podcasts.
And this is what I do for podcasts. Welcome
Yay!
Back. To Apropos of Nothing. And
I'm Jenna.
And
I'm Matt?
No.
You are way more articulate than that.
Yeah, you need to strive for much higher than that.
Have I taught you nothing, child?
So, because we are, you know, down a host, and because we're tired and
it's
lazy... We're just going to go straight to the outro. But anyway.
Yes.
We have a letter.
Yay!
Whoa!
We have a physical letter.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter.
We got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
Well, it's from Captain Kirk.
Okay. Whoa!
As you will remember, Cap and Kirk were our guests last week's podcast, Captain America and Kirky. They are now, as of today, in Seattle, in their new abode off on Grand Adventures. And when they were here last week, they left an envelope. And we do not know the contents of said envelope, but we are going to find out now.
Okay.
And Matt... was probably supposed to be here, but fuck that guy. We don't care.
Nobody likes him.
To Jenna, it's her podcast.
Yes.
Salsa and Matt.
Okay.
Well, here we are. By the time you're reading this, Kirsten and I will be in Seattle, living it up on legal herb, the sea air, and way too much pho. When I came back in 2013, I only intended to stay 6 months or so. 3 years later, I'm looking back on everything and marveling at how it happened. I met two rando assholes in a hallway at Con 1 year. Am an asshole to said assholes. And fast forward to the present, have made so much progress that I can now proudly say I am an asshole with those assholes. And Jenna. Jenna fucking rocks.
Yay!
Anyway, I'm not going to make a huge sappy deal about it, but suffice it to say, I can happily blame you three for the better turns in my fortune the past 3 years.
Oh.
From trying out for Vil to human combat chess. Thanks, Jenna.
Yay.
And then there's a little smiley face emoji thing.
Oh!
I didn't see that.
Yeah, with the carrots and underscore carrot. Joining Fearless, to working at Fest. Guys, did you know I can breathe fire now?
I do.
What? Who can't?
I saw him do it. Yeah. I can't.
I stood next to him while he did it.
You can learn.
Yep. That's true. You're old
really
enough now.
I don't really want to.
Well, it's because you're smarter than the rest.
I'm not sure it wouldn't have happened if not for our collision. So thank you. Thanks for giving a guy a chance and changing his life. I can't wait for more Fest, more Fearless, and more drunken tomfoolery in the years to come. If you need me, I'm the dude fella in the red, white, and blue. Catch you next August. Captain America, a.k.a. David. P.S. Enjoy the Fast Five on the next page. It's the first of many. Page two. So
sweet.
He said he didn't want it to be sappy, but
he knows
who he is, right?
Like that's kind
that,
of
that guy.
And this is all extremely appropriate because we should probably mention that David's apprentice this whole year was
Jessa.
So right.
That's me.
So
my apprentice, she was the one in charge.
The voice of reason for sure.
Right. I pointed him around, like,
okay, Captain, go over here now.
Stop paying attention to the dog. We have somewhere to be.
You're like the Mark to Pluto. Like, no, stop. That's a dumb idea.
Except that Mark doesn't do that.
No. Oh, my God. You guys have no fucking idea. Oh. If Mark wasn't with Neil, Neil would get in so much fucking trouble. I had
some of the trouble that Neil has gotten
into. I'm not saying that they don't get into a lot of trouble, but...
I'm pretty sure Neil in trouble.
I had a few long conversations with Mark about that. And he's like, the thing about Neil is when he is in Pluto, he is in Pluto. He is Pluto.
Oh, yeah.
Neil stops existing and he is so far into the yes and, you know, character that he cannot make rational decisions for himself.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many times that Mark has had to stop him from climbing on stage while Fondazzi's in the middle of something, or walking into the middle of a fight, or things like that, because he doesn't brain when he's Pluto, to a disturbing degree. So yeah, if Mark wasn't there, oh my god, I can't imagine how much trouble he'd be in. But anyway, we have some Fast Fives.
Fast Five.
Oh man, now I feel like I dropped the ball on that one.
Well, you
like,
you should feel that way because you did.
Oh,
what did you just say to my daughter? You apologize to her, young man,
for pointing out what she actually did,
for being an asshole to a guest on our podcast. Also,
you
my
listened
daughter.
To this podcast?
No, actually, I really haven't.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
no, I don't listen to this podcast.
Before the show,
I stopped listening a long time ago.
For the show, she was like, "How many of our podcasts have you watched?" And I'm like,
"Wow,
two.
This is gonna be a I can't."
Okay, well, let's remind everybody how it goes. Especially Jessa, who
this is going to be really interesting for one of our guests being underage. So, how this works is, Fast Five is, first we provide five answers. There are two possible choices. So you've got your Coke or Pepsi, you've got your, you know, up or down, left is right, you know.
Black or white.
Black or white. Why you got everything got to be racist with you? Seriously.
It's because I'm white.
You know. But binary responses, and then we pick one, and then after we have all picked one for reasons that are completely random and therefore ridiculous, then we find out what the actual question was. So let's start this, and this is, again, going to be interesting with a 16-year-old here, but...
Sweet.
Fast Five questions, the theme is, Will of the Whiskey.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, we're just going to soldier on here.
Okay.
Completely without irony. Number one, Glenn Marenghi or Bowmore?
I don't know.
Exactly. But you have to pick one.
Glenn Marenghi.
Yeah, that one sounds fancy.
I'm going with Glenn Marenghi. Number two, Johnny Walker or Dewars? I got to go
Can
with Dewars on this
three?
One.
Three?
Nope.
Johnny Walkers sound fun. I don't know what they are, but...
I'm going with Dewars on this one.
Johnny Walker.
All right. Number three, Maker's Mark or Bullet?
Hey, I know what Maker's Mark is. I'm going to go with that one.
I'm going with Maker's Mark just because the wax that they put
See,
on there is really
right,
cool.
Right, like yeah.
I'm not a huge Maker's Mark fan, but I haven't had
No,
bullets,
but the wax on is a nice touch.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah. Mm. It harkens back to a more innocent time.
Don't we discuss this after?
Yes. Yeah. but we get to guess.
Content. But yeah, we can guess to our heart's delight until we're provided with the actual content. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Maker's Mark because alliteration.
Ooh.
Mm.
Number four, Jameson or Jack Daniels? I got to go Jameson. Oh. I'm not a bourbon guy.
Isn't Jack Daniels the one with the pirate... Am I thinking of something
else? No, that's
else?
Captain Morgan.
Ah. I don't know. You both pick Jameson,
yeah,
so I'm going to go
Daniels
with Jameson.
Jack Daniels is the Kentucky whiskey, or the Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah.
Old number 57.
You say these things like I know, like, like I'm going to pick it up.
Number five. Oh, so you said Jameson?
Yeah.
All right, number five, Angus or Taffy?
Oh,
I have to go with Taffy.
Oh, Taffy.
Taffy, Taffy
yeah,
was my guy
obviously
this year.
No, I'm going with Taffy.
Which one do I hate?
I'm going to go with Angus because he always waters me during the drum jam.
That's true. You know how he started doing that? Completely by accident. He was just hanging around waiting for Jim to get done. And somebody asked him for a drink. And he was like, sure. And he gave him a drink. And somebody else was like, ooh, can I? And just, sure. And then he...
Yeah,
and then it, like the next day, someone was like, "Ooh, huh, you're thank goodness you're here. Can I have a drink?" He was like, "Sure," and then he was like, "Well, if I'm going to be standing here waiting for him, I might as well get people drinks." Yeah. And that's how that started.
And he gives water to all the hot belly dancers, and
yep,
they're all appreciative.
Yep.
And we even talk about somebody was like, you know, oh, it's my first time. Should I bring my mug? And one of them was like, no, no, no. The guy in the kilt will give us water.
Yep. Don't lose your mug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has probably saved us from losing several mugs over the years. Yep. So.
No, everybody has their part to play, and his part is one that you wouldn't immediately think of, but is no less appreciated.
So appreciated.
I like Taffy because he's been wearing some interesting colors on his tights this year.
He does that.
I love them both. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're both amazing people. I really, definitely. Really, really got to know Taffy this year, and I look forward to next year when I can spend more time with Angus and get to know him just as well. I mean, I already knew them on a... I knew them well, but on a casual well basis.
Right.
And now sure. I feel like I know Taffy a lot better. So
I believe that.
Once you
trust somebody to prevent other people from accidentally causing yourself bodily harm.
I know, there's that.
There's a bond.
All right. Fast Five context. Here we go. Okay. Number one, Glenn Morangi or Bowmore. We said Glenn Morangi, I think everybody said. Yep.
It sounds fancy.
Yeah, you're just giving us blank stares, so we're going to tell you. Yeah.
Sure.
Number five, what is the better sipping whiskey?
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my answer.
I don't know.
For you, young lady, none of the above.
Yeah.
Ginger ale is the answer to all of these things.
Speaking of which, do you mind?
Yes, absolutely. There we go. All right. So I think we're all... And by that, I mean both of us agreed, Glenn Morangi.
Yeah.
Number two, Johnny Walker or Dewar's, which is the better mixing whiskey? I'm going to stick with Dewar's.
Yeah, I think either one is a decent mixing.
They're both
whiskey.
Decent, it's, but I think Dewar's is what I've used more. I don't think I've ever bought Johnny Walker.
I don't think I've ever bought either of them, actually. I have found Johnny Walker and mixed it. So,
fair.
In my very limited experience, I may need to stick with Johnny Walker.
Fair enough. Number three, Maker's Mark or Bullet, which makes the better old-fashioned?
I don't like old-fashions.
Neither do I, but in the spirit of the... I gotta stick with Maker's Mark. I have, not had Bullet, so I do not know, but
yeah,
I have had Maker's Mark, and I'm gonna say, sure.
Yeah.
Works for me.
I got nothing.
Ooh, number four, Jameson or Jack Daniels, which is the better trashy whiskey? I gotta
God.
Go to Jack Daniels. I'm switching to Jack Daniels. That's way more trashy. Jameson is the trashy Irish whiskey, but you can still pretend to be Irish on St. Patrick's Day with it. Whereas
Does that
Jack
make
Daniels,
it more or less trashy? Is that appropriation?
Ooh.
Does that up the trashy?
No, no, because Johnny Jack Daniels is still just the trailer trash.
I mean, it really
is. The whiskey, it really
is. As far
is.
As I've heard, Jack Daniels is like...
Do a visual on an audio podcast.
No, Jack Daniels is really the trailer park of alcohols.
Yeah,
it really is.
So, yeah, as much as I like where you're going with your argument there,
yeah.
But it still doesn't beat how trashy Jack Daniels
beat the
is.
Trashiness. And that's how trashy.
Number five.
God damn it, Daniels, get your shit together.
Number five. Who has consumed more whiskey in your estimation, Angus or Taffy?
Shit.
Oh.
Wow.
I guess Taffy, actually.
I think Angus.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Angus.
I mean, they pretty much share everything, right?
Right.
I don't know if one of them
like,
could
so the,
one
so the question
them.
Is, which one of them drank more before they met?
They're... What?
I'm going to let you feel this one, Salsa.
They're twin brothers.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully not.
Well, now I know.
Angus and Taffy are twin brothers.
So, which
they
one has
met
consumed?
Really young. So, who drank more whiskey before they met? No one.
Salsa.
Unless their
salsa.
Mother was drinking while pregnant
salsa.
With them, in which case, still the same amount.
Salsa, you have to choose one. That's how fast life works.
I think I gotta go with Angus, honestly.
Yeah.
Because Taffy is kind of particular about his whiskeys, And he is probably more likely
he didn't used to be.
That's a good point. And he was a Marine.
Right?
Oh.
And that's pretty much
he was a Marine. Yeah. But then he was a cop. Taffy.
Right?
Yeah. That. Yep. He was a Marine and he was a cop. He's definitely drinking whiskey.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think that covers that, unless I missed my guess. All right, we will hold on to that and let Matt see that when he gets back.
Yeah,
Not the fast five, but the letter. So he can cry about it because Matt's a big...
Oh, my God, right?
Shows and stuff.
Thank you so very, very much to David for giving us that fast five. If you would like to submit a fast five, you can, A, give us a physical copy, which will immediately jump you to the front of the queue, and you won't have to wait 4 years for yours to be read because Matt is so fucking terrible at this.
Oh, my God, right?
We do have a backlog, and for that we do apologize, and we blame Matt. But if you have a Fast Five that you would like to eventually be read on the air,
don't you blame Matt?
Can't think of anything.
Sometimes I blame Salsa.
That's true. Sometimes it's my fault. Yeah. If it smells really bad in the bar, it's probably me.
Usually. Although, sometimes it's still Matt.
Yeah, it's true. It's 50-50. Anyway, if you would like to submit a Fast Five, send in two emails to matt@aonpodcast.com. The first one should include the A or B choices for us to go through and look at. Your second email should include both the questions and the context. That way Matt doesn't have to flip between the emails to figure out what the question was. Just send those and label the first one, you know, part one or questions and second part two or something like that.
Label it something like enter title here part one and then enter title here
exactly
part two.
Yeah, if you have a theme, awesome, even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, go get those in. Like I said, we do have a bit of a backlog because Matt is Matt. Right. But we are working through that, and we will get to yours eventually, we promise. If it is your first time submitting a question, you will get bumped to the top of the queue, but it still does not beat a physical copy, which will immediately get read the very next episode. All right. Anything else we need to talk about? I can't brain. I'm too tired.
I can't remember. Like, there's this thing.
I'm too tired. I need something to stimulate me.
Do you need to plug things? I don't know.
I think we need to...
There's a thing that I think we...
If only there was something that could stimulate me.
Maybe wake you up a little bit?
Wake me up. Get
your brain going.
Yeah, like something with caffeine in it.
Oh, I like caffeine.
Something that's warm.
But
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, but something
good.
Super fresh. Yeah.
Yeah, like next day fresh.
Oh, something like a good fresh.
If there was a coffee.
Like a good fresh cup of coffee.
Like if there was a coffee that I could just order online without even having to put pants on.
And it would just get delivered to your house?
Yeah, and it would get delivered. And not only that, but roasted like the day before or the day of.
The only way that could possibly get any better is if there was a promo code that you could get 10% off of your order.
God,
hey, this all sounds awful familiar.
Oh?
Really?
You guys have that sponsorship with True Stone Coffee?
What, True Stone Coffee?
You're right. How could we have forgotten about God. True Stone Coffee?
Oh,
dear listeners, this has been the worst theater of the mind that you have ever heard. But it is true. True Stone Coffee Roasters is our sponsor, and we love them dearly. So go to truestonecoffee.com, enter the promo code APROPOS, or if you're Jenna...
APROPOS!
And you will get 10% off of your order, which means 10% more coffee that you can purchase, or you could take that little bit of extra and buy yourself biscuits and have coffee and biscuits and be all fancy and have your pinky out or up.
Oh, up.
Ah, pinky there's up. The rub. But yes, you should definitely have some coffee because it is roasted fresh. It has a roasted on date printed right on the package. So you know exactly how old that coffee is. Mm. And these people give a shit about coffee. Having a conversation with them about coffee is like having a conversation with the nerdiest friend you know about, like, oh, the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
They just go down this rabbit hole, and you're like, I lost the thread of this conversation 2 hours ago, and you're still talking.
But they're still so excited about it. They're so passionate about it that you're like, just keep going.
You just get drawn into it, because I learned so much about coffee listening to these guys. Oh, it is pretty ridiculous. But it doesn't necessarily have to be hot coffee. You can also get their bottled cold press, little 12-ounce bottles of cold press. They're great.
Knows how much I love their cold press.
You just throw that in your backpack.
Yeah, she does. It is all over the place. Now I recognize a cold press bottle. Like, it's about this tall. It's like...
Oh my God, have we talked about how adorable those bottles are?
Right.
Oh my God.
They're so cute.
One of the first cast calls, like I walk up holding a True Stone and somebody's like, are you drinking beer? And I'm like, no, this is coffee. And they're like, oh, okay then. But yeah, no, the bottles, they look kind of similar
to like a session.
Smaller.
Yeah, they look a lot like a session bottle. They're the 12-ounce bottles, and they're so cute. But anyway, yes, you should do that. You should order coffee from them, and they're super, super nice, and their customer service is unparalleled. And super nice guys. The other thing is, what do you got to plug?
I think I'm doing a show this Sunday.
Oh.
The Encyclopedia Show is returning for their next season. How apropos that you would use the trumpet noise, because the theme of this Sunday is marching bands.
What? I didn't even know that shit.
I know, right? Well done.
Coincidence? Yeah.
Yes, it was, actually.
Yep.
So where is that going to be and when and how much?
That is at Kieran's Irish Pub at 7 o'clock, 7 or 7:30. I think it's 7. I always show up at like 6 because I'm ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how much, but it's relatively inexpensive.
Okay. It's reasonable.
I believe it's under $10.
It's a reasonable price.
Yeah. And I don't remember who's performing, but I remember going like, holy shit, I get to perform with these people.
Is Pablo in it?
I don't think he is in it this time.
Wow. Duck?
Well, yeah, he's one of the hosts.
I suppose.
He's almost always there.
I just started saying people who I know.
I think we've got Matt and Pat.
Okay.
And, I mean, they're always good standbys, yeah. So...
Who are the other storytellers?
There's so many now.
Kellen.
Like, we're actually... I'm not going to get to do as many Encyclopedia shows this year, I don't think, because there are a lot... It's gotten popular, and there's a lot of great talent
in
the city.
Jenna was doing the Encyclopedia show before it was popular.
That's true. It's totally true. And now that it's popular, they don't want me anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that the way? Anything else?
I feel like there's more that I'm doing, but I can't remember. I'm like, yeah, mostly that.
Cool. You got there something to other fest is done, so.
No, not currently.
Okay.
Are you auditioning for school plays?
Yeah, but there's no guarantee I'll get in.
Any other community projects or anything you're involved in?
I'm going to be starting up a thing, but that won't happen for a while, so...
Okay, so you heard it here, folks. Breaking news. Something is happening, and we will tell you about it someday. I know. Like, there's some hot scoops going on here.
But not yet.
No, but we're dropping the teaser of the teaser.
Whoa. Oh, God.
That's super exclusive. Super exclusive.
Well, now there's pressure. Like, I gotta deliver now.
Accountability is one of the best ways to get something accomplished.
You were gonna deliver anyway. Don't even get me started.
No,
it's true. One of the best ways to actually get something done is to tell everybody that you're gonna do it. Because then now I've gotta do it. I am in a whirlwind of rehearsals for Murder at Mystery Lodge.
Ooh.
I know it is the follow-up, if you will, to Mystery at Mystery Lodge. It has none of the same characters or anything like that. It is merely the spiritual successor. So not a sequel in any way, shape, or form, but it takes place at the same resort is basically the only tie-in. That is going to be October 23rd.
That was the 28th.
28th.
Yeah, I heard 28th 29th. Fearless Lab.
29th. Is it Friday? I thought it was Saturday. I hope it's...
He said 28th.
I hope it's Saturday, because I really need to take
I think
day.
Aiden said 28th.
Well...
Keith? Cedius?
Let me look it up. Let me look that shit up.
Euchre? I think it was Euchre. That was Aiden. I could be mistaken.
I don't know who yelled it, but I know somebody yelled 28th. Or 20th. But I think it was 28th, because...
It is indeed the 29th.
Okay.
It is Saturday, okay. October 29th.
Well, never mind.
It is at 6 p.m. at the Heartwood Conference Center Retreat in Trago, Wisconsin.
I hope all those people of Fearless Lab also listen to AON that they know exactly where they should go.
Yeah, go to the website. You'll find that information. So it is Saturday, October 29th, and it is going to be goddamn funny. One of the things I love about Fearless Comedy is we can take a murder mystery and make it hilarious. And that is being directed by Susie Becker, and she is putting us through our fucking paces. Oh my god. But it's good because she really, really cares about the show and wants it to be really good, and has a vision that is... good. It is going to be funny. I can't wait.
Is it going to be good?
It is going to be... it'll be okay. No, it's going to be fucking amazing.
Oh, okay.
It's going to suck. It'll be great.
That you will only hear from somebody in a production. It's going to suck. It'll be amazing.
Yeah. No, honestly, that place is a gorgeous place. It is a reasonable price for dinner and a show. It's like only 2 hours.
They have like overnight packages too.
Yeah, they have, you can go, you can show up for dinner and the show and then head home, or you can spend the night at the resort, which is gorgeous. The first time we did a show there, they provided lodging for us and we stayed in this adorable little cabin. Aww. And the grounds that it's on is so far removed from any road or anything like that. You're on gravel paths the last quarter mile.
Oh, that
and so you're
pretty.
Just in the middle of the woods, and it's so pretty and so peaceful out there. It really, really is a beautiful place, and it's only a couple hours from the city, so it completely, you know, for those of you going, I don't want to leave the cities, it's doable. And I recommend you take a weekend to go
get out of the house.
And you're going into Wisconsin, so you can buy new Glarus on the way, which is what I'm going to be doing.
Nice.
Other than that, I can't think of anything else I need to plug off the top of my head. Matt is in a show that is going to be...
It's opening this Thursday?
Hey, yeah,
Weekend
we should plug
at
that
Bernard's.
What?
I know, right? Weekend at Bernard's is... No, what is it? Masquerade at Bernard's.
Yeah, Masquerade at Bernard's.
Masquerade at Bernard's. It is the Shakespearean Weekend at Bernie's. So if you are a fan of Weekend at Bernie's and enjoyed that and want and you just went, you know, this is good, but I really wish that they were talking in iambic pentameter, this is the show for you. it is, yes, absolutely.
I've got to say, one of the co-writers, Brian Watson Jones, is one of the great minds behind Bard Fiction. Which was, like, the fringe hit of 2009, yeah. I think. And, yeah, he's done a few other ones as well. But he's just incredible taking Shakespeare and moshing it with the movies. So
that is going on at the Phoenix Theater in Uptown.
Yep.
And you should probably go
To Masquerade at Bernard's. Also, Fearless has basically taken over the theater for the next couple weeks.
Yeah. We do that.
You show up there pretty much any night, there will be something Fearless happening.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. There's Epic Lip Sync and various other stuff going on.
There's a sketch show, a couple music shows, a bunch of improv.
But you can go to fearlesscomedyproductions.com and find information on all of that stuff that we talked about. It is getting late. I want to go to bed. Get the fuck out of my house.
It's my daughter's bedtime.
So, thank you, dear listeners, for listening to another episode. I know it's not that difficult now that Matt is gone to listen to us talk on forever.
Yeah, right?
Just,
is he going to be back next week?
I hope not.
I Yeah.
Yeah. But dear listener, we thank you so very, very, very much for listening, and eat the fucking cake. Just have to find this.
Oh. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, my beer and I would like to remind you to support the incomparable Brandon Muffuckin' Patton, whom you can find at BrandonPatton.com. He's been kind enough to donate all the music you've heard so far tonight. You may also find him on tour with MC Frontalot, whom you can find at Frontalot.com. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show directly, please leave us a review or rating on iTunes, and you can even donate money through PayPal on our website, AONPodcast.com.
Is this, like, too loud for the podcast?